The incredible human heart beats 104,000 times every 24 hours, pumping blood more than 168 million miles through the body's system. I'll be back in a moment with the amazing facts about diet and death. Hello, this is Joe Cruz on the Amazing Facts broadcast, facts which affect you. Modern electronic devices that have come forth through the genius of modern man can't compare to the intricacies of the human body. I want you to think with me today about that human heart, for example, that beats 103,680 times every day. Try to imagine with me the blood traveling 168 million miles every 24 hours through its intricate system of canals. And then think about the cooling system with 2.5 million sweat glands that maintain a constant 98-degree temperature. If it weren't for this thermostatically controlled system, the rowing of a rowboat for 3 miles would produce sufficient heat to literally cook the human body. And then, of course, try to imagine the ear. A concert piano has 240 strings, but the ear contains 24,000 supersensitive sound-receiving filaments. Think of the human eye taking thousands of Kodachrome full-dimensional pictures every day. And think of the human brain with 10 billion cells to aid in thinking, reasoning, and storing knowledge for future needs. Just think of the digestive system, the circulatory system, the respiratory system, all evidences of an all-wise creative God. A survey was taken some years ago in an American city when 156 questions were asked of every inhabitant. And it was discovered that the prime interest of adults was that of health, not politics, history, or even the weather, but health, their health and the health of their families. What a paradoxical age this one is in which we live, friends, a time when we have more doctors, hospitals, medicines, more medical knowledge of the care, treatment, and cure of disease, more pills, capsules, vitamins, and so forth, yet never has there been a time when more sickness and general ill health has plagued the human body. Why should there be so much sickness in an age of such great advance in medical science? I believe there are several reasons for this. And the first one is a disregard of the simple principles of healthful living. Fresh air, sunshine, exercise, rest, and water. Yes, abiding by the simple natural principles of good health, we can actually increase the physical tone of the body and build up resistance against disease. Secondly, there are psychological reasons why there's so much sickness in our world today. It's interesting to notice a text in 2 Samuel 13:6. It says, "So Amnon lay down and made himself sick." Now notice that. It says he made himself sick. And this is done by worry, fear, and wrong mental attitudes to the problems of life. Ecclesiastes 11:10, Moffat's translation says, "Banish all worries from your mind and keep your body from pain." In Proverbs 17:22, we read, "A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones." Yes, friends, a contented mind, a happy mind, tends toward better physical well-being. The third cause of so much sickness in our world today is sin itself. In Psalms 38:3, we read, "There is no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger, neither is there any rest," the margin says health, "neither is there any health in my bones because of my sin." Now, friends, known sin in the life can actually develop a guilt complex that can result in physical disability. The fourth, and perhaps the greatest reason for so much ill health in the world today is that of improper diet. Now, you'll notice that the first sin ever committed in our world dealt with appetite. Eve, and Adam also, surrendered allegiance to Satan over a morsel of food. Jesus indicated that appetite would be one of the foundations of the sins of the last days. In Matthew 24:37-38, he speaks of men eating and drinking as it was in the days of Noah. And then he says, "So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." The Apostle Paul speaks in Philippians 3:19 of those whose God is their belly. And so today many live to eat rather than eat to live. Now what does eating have to do with religion, friends? In Deuteronomy 31:20, we're told that when Israel anciently quote, shall have eaten and filled themselves and waxen fat, then will they turn unto their gods and serve them and provoke me and break my covenant, end of quotation. Now, this prediction was indeed fulfilled as the children of Israel lusted after the flesh pots of Egypt and turned away from the Lord. What we eat, how we eat, and the other habits of our physical health determine strongly our spiritual experience. One famous physician, Dr. Osler by name, stated, 90% of all conditions other than acute infections, contagious diseases, and traumatisms are directly traceable to diet. Indeed, many people today are digging their graves with their teeth. Have you ever noticed that three-fourths of the word death is E-A-T? Paul Bragg, in his famous cookbook, stated, the average person is poisoning himself day by day with the food he eats. Most people eat with their eyes. If the food looks good, they do not question whether it's healthful or death-dealing. Few people know the right kind of food to put into their bodies to keep them well and strong, or take the time to select this food if they do know. From birth to old age, the average individual never experiences a taste of real natural live food. Our tiny sensitive taste buds have been for generations so polluted by unnatural, artificially seasoned and stimulating foods that most of us are unable to appreciate the fine, delicate flavor of the natural foods. Foods must be fixed, hashed, mashed, smashed, boiled, broiled, stewed, baked, pickled, preserved, flavored, salted, creamed, dried, roasted, fried, greased, peppered, vinegar-laden, smoked, toasted, crushed, rolled, mealed, oiled, fermented, beaten, sweetened, spiced, soured, peeled, shredded, steamed, braised, colored, and otherwise seasoned in order to offer an appeal to the civilized man. And then Paul Bragg adds this. He says, civilized man is not satisfied with the food the Maker has supplied him and must do something with it before he feels it's fit for him to eat. Well, the Bible has much to say about man's diet and its importance in his relation to God. In Corinthians 6, 19 and 20, we're told, what? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. The price paid for our redemption, that of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus, demands that we recognize our body as the temple of the Holy Spirit, and that we glorify God in our bodies. In 1 Corinthians 3, 16 and 17, we're told, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. So it's interesting to note that the Bible records the original diet of man before sin entered the world. In Genesis 1, 29, we read, and God said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. And then in Genesis 3:18 we find that these four staples are really the original diet that God gave. That's fruits, grains, nuts, and vegetables. And this is very different from what modern man is feeding into his body today. Some time ago, Time magazine carried a brief article entitled Zoo Plate, in which it listed the items on the menu of a group in New York City. And I'm quoting now from that article. Quote, in Manhattan, members and guests of the Explorers Club ate a smorgasbord of roast caterpillar, barbecued Japanese snake, fried Japanese ant eggs, fried grasshoppers, pickled African honeybees, Bombay duck, stuffed squid in its own ink, roast seal flipper, hard-boiled quail eggs, salted whale skin, bits of reindeer steak, boiled Italian sparrows, fried Mexican agave worms, raw calves' eyes, Armenian. Now, friends, that's the kind of food that people are eating today. Indeed, man's appetite has been perverted by sin. And few follow the instruction of the Lord in Isaiah 55:2 that says, eat that which is good. Now, we'll notice that flesh food was not a part of the original diet of man. It was added after the flood as an emergency measure in Genesis 3:3-5. Of course, only the clean meats were permitted by God, even after that. In Leviticus 11, he reveals there are certain foods that are unclean and should never be eaten by man. The Lord said, these are the beasts which ye shall eat among all the beasts that are on the earth. And then in the next few verses, he lays down principles and names specific animals that are unclean. In verses 3, 4, and 7, and 8, we read this, "Whatsoever parteth a hoof, and is cloven-footed, and cheweth the cud among the beast, that shall ye eat. Nevertheless, these shall ye not eat of them that chew the cud, or them that divide the hoof. As the camel, because he cheweth the cud, but divideth not the hoof, he is unclean unto you. And the swine, though he divide the hoof, and be cloven-footed, yet he cheweth not the cud, he is unclean to you. Of their flesh shall ye not eat." So there it is, friends. We find that pork, ham, bacon, all of these things that constitute such a major portion of the diet of Americans today is considered by God to be unclean and not fit for food. Now, the disease trichinosis invades the body through the eating of swine's flesh. It's a tiny microscopic worm called the trichinoworm. A former United States Public Health Service chief, Dr. Maurice Hall, of the Zoological Division, stated that 99% of acute trichinosis cases are missed by the diagnostician. He says that the sickness is called variously typhoid fever, intestinal flu, malaria, rheumatism, heart disease, neuritis, and a host of other things. The pig, friends, was meant to be a scavenger, and so it is not a part of man's diet. Leviticus 11 continues to lay down the principles for the fish that can and cannot be eaten. In verse 10 we read, "And all that have not fins and scales in the seas and in the rivers, of all that move in the waters, and of any living thing which is in the waters, they shall be an abomination unto you." So we discover that the great array of seafoods of which men partake today, such as crabs, oysters, shrimp, clams, scallops, and so forth, with all fish like catfish that don't have fins and scales, they're unclean by their very nature and unfit for human consumption. In Leviticus 11:13 and onward, we're told about the fowls that are unclean and should not be eaten. And the Lord sums up his teachings on the clean and unclean foods by saying in verses 43 and 44, "Ye shall not make yourselves abominable with any creeping thing that creepeth, neither shall ye make yourselves unclean with them, that ye should be defiled thereby. For I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and ye shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall ye defile yourselves with any manner of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." Well, let's think of some other article of diet and drink that might fall into this same category. We all know, as the Bible tells us in Proverbs 21, "Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise." Surely, friends, no Christian would want to defile his body with the use of beer, wine, or whiskey, or any of the other alcoholic drinks. But what about this matter of tea and coffee and cola drinks, friends? Coffee contains 1.5 grains, or 1.5 to 3 grains of caffeine, a deadly poison. Tea has 1 to 2 grains of caffeine, plus tannic acid. All of these things are detrimental and harmful to the human body. And the Bible says that we should put nothing into the body that's going to defile it, or cause it to be weakened, or to cause it to be shortened of life. And now, this is Joe Cruz saying goodbye for today.